It is the Jerry DePoto Show here on Danny David Moore. Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time.
Always a joy, fellas.
Well, you guys wrap up another series victory, a pretty good Baltimore team that you guys faced. What'd you see from your squad out there this week?
I mean, like we've seen all year long, they're resilient. They bounce back, and, you know, really couldn't be happier, again, with where we are on May 19th. And, you know, it's a different guy every day, contributes to us winning. And, you know, the game one of the three-game series, the middle of our lineup really carried us. And our pitching was plenty good enough with Wade and the bullpen chipping in to really shut them down in a tough park. And, you know, and today it was more the bottom of our lineup. You know, Adam Lynn and Ketel Marte and Leonis Martin. And I think we passed the baton, so to speak, on the pitching staff. And they gave us a real good five innings and really had to battle through the five. And the bullpen did their job.
Boy, Jerry Karnes, the trade that you made to get him, some Mariner fans, myself included, thought, boy, DePoto gave up a lot to get Nathan Karnes, but we can certainly see what you liked in him recently, and you can make a case that he's the best fifth starter in baseball.
We like him an awful lot. I think most people, and when trades are made and they're for less heralded players, you always think you gave up more than the other guy because you never heard of their guy, and you've heard of the guy you're trading. So I don't think that's an uncommon reaction, but you know, we like Nate an awful lot going into the offseason. We targeted him as a potential trade acquisition, and we were fortunate enough to be able to pull him away. You know, it wasn't cheap, but you know, you've got to give to get, and you know, the players we traded to Tampa are solid major league players, and we're very happy with what we pulled away, and particularly with what Nate has contributed these first, you know, month and a half of the season. He's been very good.
Hey, Jerry, with Leonis Martin, we were talking about him earlier, and it's encouraging that the seventh home run, he's on a pace for 28 homers, but you wonder about the strikeouts with him and the batting average. Is there a concern there, and he's just so terrific out there in center field. I don't know if there's a certain average that he has to hit to justify him being out there, but would you like to see him make some changes to his swing?
Well, I think Leonis, more than any other player on our club right now, works on an offensive game and swing alterations with Edgar every single day. And I think you saw today, maybe for one of the few times you've seen it all year, he singled to left, and that was something that really hasn't happened often with Leonis. And he's been doing a good job of kind of increasing his walk rate, taking a walk a few more times than he has in the past, and you're seeing the home runs pile up. You know, I'd say this, that if Leonis Martin were to hit for a significantly higher average than what you've seen, you know, here in the early going, and he does all the things, the Gold Glove defense, the throwing arm, he can steal a base. It's he does so many other things, and pile on top of that, what we've seen is a spike in the home run power. His value to us is immense, regardless of what his batting average is. And you know, right now he's doing it in a little bit of a funky way with power and set, but he's pretty close to a league average offensive player, and we're getting significantly better than that defensively. Add the two together, and you really can't put a value on it. At the rate of pay for, you know, multiple years of control of a center fielder of his quality, they're not easy to find.
Hey, Jerry, we're hearing Edgar Martinez's name come up a lot lately, and especially from where it counts, from the players, and even Mark Trumbo was talking about having worked with Edgar. Have you sat in on some of his sessions? What are some of the things that stand out or that you noticed about the way Edgar teaches?
Well, like his personality, Edgar he's so quiet. Everybody in the room respects Edgar as soon as he walks in. But, you know, like I talked with Leonis, you know, on Saturday after Charlie Furbush and Joaquin Benoit threw their bullpens or live BP sessions, Leonis climbed in the cage. Edgar started working with him on more of a middle to opposite field type level line drive swing rather than, you know, just getting in hook and lift mode. And he's been working with him on it, I mean, truly for a month. And the patience that he shows, he never gets flustered when a player can't carry the coaching into a game immediately. And almost like our parents would be, he's nurturing. And He constantly leaves the player in a positive position, talks to him about how good he can be, and reminds him to focus on the things that he's best at or working on the things that need to improve. I really could not be more impressed with what Edgar brings as a hitting coach. He's not only is he a respected figure in the clubhouse, which really helps, but there's Edgar talks about hitting and people listen.
Jerry DePoto with us for his weekly visit via the Venue Kings hotline. And Jerry, to backtrack just a second to Nathan Karns, we've seen his velocity kind of tick up a little bit over the past month or so. Is that a surprise for you? I guess I'm not remembering seeing a guy, he's still very young, but to see his velocity creep up as it has, that's got to be something that's encouraging for you guys.
Yeah, it's encouraging, but again, I think largely that's because a lot of the nation really never seen much of Nate Karns. This is not significantly different than anything Nate did in Tampa. His fastball in previous seasons would top out in the 96 range. It comfortably sit in the 90 to 95 range, and most fastballs are going to register about 92. And he's probably about half a mile or a mile up on the average, which in the early season is probably not shocking. And as you get deeper into the summer and the innings start to pile up, you may see that, the average dip down another half a mile. But the stuff and part of what was the attraction when we acquired him is the physical ability with Nate, the three pitches, particularly the first two, the fastball and the curveball. And you get low to mid-90s, sometimes upper 90s, with a fastball that really bursts through the zone at the top of the zone. And, on a scouting scale, his curveball is going to what we would reference as like a double plus. It's a well above average major league curveball, both in spin rates and in the ability to get a swing and miss. And what Nate's doing is just he's learning to be more consistent with his stuff. And that's a tribute to him, to his focus, and to the work that Mel is doing with him. And Mike Hansen spent a lot of time with Nate as well. But Nate really is just tapping into consistency. This is a guy that finished last year as one of the top 20 ERA pitchers in the American League, and I think was sixth overall in strikeout rate. So he was just tucked away in Tampa in a really good rotation. Nobody knew he was there. And if Nate can throw the innings of a legit mid rotation starter, I do think he's significantly better than your run of the mill number five.
It's still very early in the season, but now kind of for the second time we've seen your team come back. It was the first homestand losing 5-6 and going back out on the road and kind of not missing a beat. This time you get swept at home by the Angels and you come out and you take 2-3 from the division leading Orioles. Are you seeing some resilience in your team, or is this just a case of baseball kind of working things out over the long haul?
Probably a little of both. And, anytime you get swept at home, it's no fun. And, we've done it a couple times now. But that's part of the baseball season playing out. We've tried with everything from spring training on just to remember to take the 10,000-foot view with the club. And I think it's important when we walk away from that homestand, we swept Tampa, the Angels swept us. We leave 3-3 on a 6-game homestand. Not exactly how we'd like to have it, but in a normal world, what are you hoping for? 4-2, and you lost a game off in the big picture, and you got to go out and you got to shake it off. And this team has been real good, just showing a short memory, bouncing back the next day. They focus on today's game, and they just put their head down. They have a lot of fun, and they're not going to let something drip. We're going to lose 3 in a row. And we said it from the start, and you'd prefer not to do it very often, that's for sure. But we're going to lose 3 in a row. The baseball season ebbs and flows, and we got caught in one, and now we got back into the other. It's a really nice series we played in Baltimore, and my guess is once the plane lands in Cincinnati, the fellas aren't going to give it another thought. They'll move on, and now the opponent is the Reds.
Nice to see Benoit back out there today, a little rusty according to Scott Service, and then Cishek in the ninth with 2 strikeouts and a ground out. The bullpen last weekend having a few struggles, but what do you think the state of the bullpen is right now, Jerry? And if you could give us an update, too, on Furbush and Zick and when we can expect them to return.
Again, 10,000-foot view, the bullpen has been fantastic for us all year, minus last Friday and Saturday. And It was really nice to see Steve get back out there and really locate his slider, which is something he did extraordinarily well for the first 5-plus weeks of the season and then struggled with this past weekend. He seemed back on track today. I really liked his command and the liveliness of his fastball. And that's one of the benefits of having guys that have done it before. They understand when they have that kind of an emotional weekend where they let down or they don't get it done, they bounce back. And Nuno and Vincent, they've all done such a good job, and it's nice to see them recertify that they're good at what they do. And I know sometimes the bullpen is feast or famine. And, you know, we feasted for a while, and then we were starving over the weekend. Now we can eat again. And you know, Joaquin Benoit back today. It's been over a month since he pitched in a big league game, and we did not throw him out there on a rehab assignment. So the fact that he struggled with his command today wasn't entirely shocking. I was just glad to see velocity and some action on his changeup, and frankly glad to see that he was able to wiggle his way out of that jam in the eighth inning. that certainly helped our cause. And with Furbush and Zick, Charlie is scheduled to throw a live BP session tomorrow, weather provided, in Tacoma. We'll face a handful of our AAA hitters down there. If it goes well, we will ship him off to Peoria, where he'll start his innings progression. And, you know, right now we're targeting, if all goes well, we're targeting sometime in the first week of June as a potential return. But, you know, again, with Charlie, as we've been from the beginning, we're just trying to go day by day with a plan. And, you know, as far as Tony Zick goes, he is actively in his throwing program. We have not determined yet when we'll send him out. You know, unlike Benoit, we will have Tony go out and start a few games or throw in a few games at the minor league level before we reactivate him. Just the difference in the experience level of the pitchers and how to bounce back when you've had that kind of layoff. And then really good signs again from the guys that are pitching either in AAA and in some cases AA, with guys like Edwin Diaz and Emilio Pagan. We feel like we're in a better position depth-wise than we've been in some time. So I feel pretty good about where the bullpen is right now.
Jerry, stolen bases-wise, you're about 50-50, I guess. How do you feel about that number, that part of your game? And you know, I'm sure going in, you guys, you have a team built for speed, but tell us where you're at.
Yeah, not something we've been very good at. And I think, you know, Scott, the team, we want to play a more aggressive style, and we certainly want to push the envelope and make the opponent as uncomfortable as possible. We've just had a really tough time getting traction doing it. And in some cases, it's been, you know, good catching with accurate throws on the other side. In some cases, it's just been bad jumps. And you know, frankly, that's how you get to 50-50, is a little of both. And, you know, we've got guys particularly like Martin and Aoki, who have stolen 20, 30 bases in major league seasons. And, you know, I think Leonis has been perfectly fine. His base running in general and his base stealing have both been equal to or greater than we could have hoped. I think today aside, Ketel Marte has been mostly a positive. And, you know, we have to pick and choose our spots. And once base stealing, like hitting or like the bullpen, it's a confidence game. And once you get that itch and the jumps are a little quicker and you're a little more confident getting that extra half step with a lead, you can pile up some stolen bases pretty quickly. But, you know, right now I think frankly, we're probably forcing the issue a little bit because we want to get to where we know we can be, particularly with that group of guys, with Marte, Martin, and Aoki. And I think eventually you'll see us uptick in that area. But, you know, if we score runs, I'm not going to get too concerned with it. But I would like to see us, you know, limit the number of times we're giving away free outs. That's for sure.
He is Jerry DePoto, the GM. You can hear him with us each and every week. Jerry, we really appreciate you taking the time. Sure fun to watch him play. And now we'll see how they can do in Cincinnati. Thank you so much.
You got it, guys. Talk to you next week.